Hey, good morning, everybody. It's the 8th of Nisan. It's the second day of April. And today we're going to talk about, I guess, one of the most enigmatic sections, not just of Sefer Shmos, but of the entire Torah, but one which is really crucial to understanding Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in general. Remember the last piece that we had been discussing was this idea of Makas Bechoros. We described the Sforno's perspective, where Makas Bechoros was fundamentally different than all the other Makos, because that was Din, and all the other Makos were somehow trying to incentivize Paro to do tshuva. And we just finished reading the Psukim, Yamartel, Paro ko amar Hashem b'ni Bechori Yisrael, that the Jews are my firstborn. V'alamar eilecha shalachas b'ni v'yavduni v'atimayin l'shalachol. V'yavdeni, excuse me. V'atimayin l'shalachol, if you'll refuse to send them out. So then you will lose your firstborn. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, we have this extremely enigmatic series of psukim where it appears that either Moshe, that's the primary viewer, we'll see a conflicting view in the Gemara Nedarim, is nearly destroyed even before he can be the Goel Yisrael, which is a fascinating thing. Vahiva Derech Bamalon. Moshe Rabbeinu is returning to the land of Egypt after so many years and decades. Vayifkeshehu Hashem, and Hashem encounters him. Unkla says the Malach of Hashem. We'll see a very different interpretation in the Sforno. Vayivakesh Hamito, and wanted to kill Moshe. Vatikach Tziporah Tzor, and Tziporah takes a rock. Vatichrot et Orlat Benah, and she gives a bris milah to one of her children, either Gershom or Eliezer, the baby. Vatagal Raglav. And she touches the actual Arla, the Makom Hamila, right, to the feet of someone, either the child or Moshe. Vatomer, ki chatan damim, chatan normally refers to a bridegroom, could be a husband, but there's another view. Atali, damim could mean dead or about to die. Vayiref bimenu, and all of a sudden the Malach, so to speak, leaves Moshe alone. Az Amra, and then she said, chatan damim, Lamulot, a very hard expression to interpret. So let's take a look at the classical presentation, which is from the Gemara in Masechta Nedarim, and see what we might be able to understand and to develop here. Again, bearing in mind that this entire incident emerges in the Psukim, according to many it happened before, it emerges in the Psukim right after Hashem says to Moshe, there's going to be this Makas Bechoros. Tanya Rabbi Shur ben Karcha Omer, Gedola Mila, all of Moshe's great merits, now truthfully he didn't have most of those merits yet, he hadn't done the Makos, he hadn't done Kriyas Yamsuf, he hadn't done Har Sinai, he hadn't taught the Jewish people the Torah, but be that as it may, all of Moshe's zechuyos, present or future, were not going to be enough when he was lackadaisical about Mila, Shenemar, Vayifkeshehu Hashem Vayivakesh Hamiso. Then Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was Nisrashel al Hamila. Unfortunately, Bismanenu, not everybody can do bris mila bismano, not everybody's able to do bris mila at the appropriate time, given all of the complications that we're living with right now. But Moshe somehow, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, was not acting fully responsible when it comes to bris mila. So Amar Rabbi, so Rabbi disagrees, Chas v'shalom shemoshe Rabbeinu nisrashel min amila lakach Amar. But Moshe had a calculus. Emol ve'etze, I'm going to give a bris mila to my child. It's sakana, it's danger. Shenemar, v'hiva yom ha'shishi b'yosam ko'avim. Look, it took adults 3 full days to recover. I'm going to travel with a child, right? That's part of our calculus right now, as the Rambam says. Why, even if there's a suffix as to the well-being of the child, forget about an uncertainty, we delay the bris mila because we can do a bris mila later. But e'efshar l'hachzer nefesh achas mi'yisrael la'olam. We can never restore even one Jewish life. Emol v'ashe shlosha yamim, what am I going to wait 3 days? Kadosh Baruch Hu amr li lech shuv Mitzrayim, I have a commandment from Hashem that I have to return to Egypt. Ela mibnei ma nenesh Moshe. So why was Moshe punished? Mibnei shenis asek b'malon tchila. Because Moshe, instead of when they came to a resting place where he could have either done bris mila or maybe just carried on the journey back to Egypt, but somehow he stopped at the resting place. There are different interpretations of that. Shenemar v'hiva derech b'malon. But that, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, very actively thinking about bris mila. Rabbi Shingam li'alomer, lola Moshe Rabbeinu b'kesh satan larog. Moshe's life was truthfully never in danger. Ela le oser tinok shenemar ki chasan damim atali tzeirei mikarei chasan. Who's typically called the chasan? Haviomer zehatinok. So he thinks it was the young baby. That is to say, Moshe's younger son Eliezer. Darish Rabbi Yehuda bar Bizna b'shash and israshel Moshe Rabbeinu min amila. Back to the kind of approach that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was advocating, that it was a hisrashel sal hamila as opposed to shita of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Ba'u af v'chema u'bila'uhu, right, that he was literally consumed by the malach, v'lo shiru menu ala raglav, and the only thing that was left, and here it's probably a euphemism, that he was covered from the top down to his private section, and from the bottom up to his private section. Miyad, so Tzipora understood what the hint was, v'atikach Tzipora tzor v'atichros es erlas bina, Miyad vayiref mimenu, so that Hashem was signaling to Tzipora through the Malach exactly what needed to be done to save the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe, according to most views here, has this near-death experience, and it's all about bris mila, and particularly with an emphasis on the dam. Az amra chasan damim lamulos. And remember, this is all coming off the heels of a discussion of makas bechoros. How are you to understand this completely enigmatic section? So let's first take a look at the Sfarno, who has a little bit of a contrarian view of the pasuk vayifkesheu Hashem. Kara yomila spino asher bo tishra shchina lamod bebris ki inyan nimolu ito vayiro ilav Hashem belunei mamre. That, you know, contrary to the typical view that it was just bikur cholim, but that according to the Sfarno, it was a hashras hashchina, that Avram was zocha to a visit from Hashem because now he had bris mila. That's a very important idea. So Vayifkesheu Hashem was on the eighth day. Hashem was there specifically because a bris mila was occurring. V'ulai zosi sibas haminag v'hachim kisei kavod b'makom hamila. That's why we have the kisei shel Eliyahu. It's such an important idea because it really reflects the notion of hashras hashchina in its own right with respect to, you know, what bris mila is meant to represent. So again, bear this Sfarno in mind, that Vayifkesheu Hashem, that this whole section relates to Hashem's presence. So Rashi interprets, and we'll see a machokes here between Rashi and Unklus, Chasan damim lamulos, Chasani hayanirtzach, Moshe would have died, my chatan al devar hamila. That's what it means, chatan damim lamulos, that mila could have been responsible for the death of my husband had I not done it right now. Now Unklus disagrees, and says that Tzipora twice says bedama de mahalta hadain is yahiv chasan alana, and then ilule dama de mahalta hadain, if not for the dam mila, is chayev chasan aktol. In other words, the dam mila saved Moshe from death. So please keep that perspective of Unklus in mind as we travel forward just a little bit further. So again, Rashi says Moshe would have died, like the Gemara in Mila, because of the Gemara in Nedarim, because of his rashlus of a lack of care when it comes to bris mila. And Unklus almost says exactly the opposite, that the bris mila, the dam mila, saved Moshe from otherwise certain death. So let's take a look at a famous mechilta, which is again popularized by Rashi. On a pasuk that we say during Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, pasuk in Yechezkel, v'at eirom v'ariyah, that HaKadosh Baruch looked down at us and saw us naked. What does it mean that Hashem saw us naked? Nasan lam arum mikol ha-mitzvos, that we were naked from mitzvos. Nasan lam HaKadosh Baruch shtei mitzvos, dam Pesach v'dam mila, shenis as kubam kidei sheyegalu, shenemar v'abor alayich v'rech misposeses v'damayich v'omar lach, B'damayich chayi, v'omer lach b'damayich chayi. Right, that there's two dams, dam mila and dam pesach, and that's what's going to save the Jewish people during that night of the 15th, when God will reveal Himself. B'chatzi halayla ni yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim, and only the dam pesach and the dam mila can save them. Confirming here in the view of Unklus, not the view of Rashi. As Tzipora said, if it wasn't for the dam mila, Moshe Rabbeinu would have died. Continuing on in the Mechilta, Omar gam is hadam briseich shalachti asirayich miborei mayim bo to pasuk in Zechariah. V'kachiktim akasa v'kichaso shal pesach l'shchitaso dal yamim she'emun in schar el al yidei ha-maisa. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to give the Jewish people schar even before we would have the Dan Pesach and the Dan Milah. And the Chizkuni really focuses in on this in two of his comments. He comments extensively on this section. Picked out two of them. Hishlicha Hamila Lagraglav. Remember that section, Vataga Lagraglav, when Tzipora takes the arla, the actual foreskin, and touches it to the malach, Lagraglav Shal Malach, not to Moshe's feet or to the son's feet, Lios Makom Karban, Vehoil, and it worked. This was a form of a karban. Like, now we're linking this action with actually bringing a karban. Maybe it wasn't Raglav Shal Malach, but Raglav Shal Moshe. We're going to come to the same place. So just like the Dan Pesach would save us on the night of the 15th, the Dan Milah saved Moshe Rabbeinu here. Okay, so what all these sources are pointing to, I think, is an absolutely exquisite idea. Right after the Torah presents Makas Bechoros, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, according to most views, nearly died. And what was going to save Moshe Rabbeinu from death at the great moment of Ahasuerus HaShechinah? Remember this for Vayivkasheu Hashem. God is present, just like God would be present on the night of the 15th of Nisan. What saves Moshe? It's the Dam Milah. And later on it would be B'damai chayi, not just the Dam Milah, but the Dam of the Karban Pesach in conjunction with the Dam of the Bris Milah. So this extremely enigmatic series of psukim, actually in context now, can be illuminated in a completely different sense. Vahiva derech v'malon, Moshe Rabbeinu was experiencing exactly what the Jewish people would experience almost an entire year later. When Hashem revealed himself in Egypt, and there's destruction going around, and it's the Bris Milah, and the Karban Pesach, and the Dam of the Karban Pesach, and the Dam that went on the mezuzahs of the Mashkof, that will save the Jews from destruction. So right after the Pasuk says, Hinei Anuchi Horeg Ezbincha Bechorecha, the Torah is signaling the remedy through which the Bechore Yisrael will, of course, be saved. B'dam Pesach, B'dam Mila, Hakasav Medaber. So Moshe's personal experience, of course, then becomes the national experience with respect to saving the Jewish people from utter and complete destruction. Now, again, the Chizkuni's idea is that Mila itself is a kind of a karban, right? And I think that we might be able to expand on that in the following sense. The Ramban famously says that the whole idea of a karban, especially as signified by the smicha, by putting one's hands on the karban and weighing directly on it, pushing all of one's weight onto the karban, right, is a transference. Really, we should be the ones, you know, who are put to death, but the animal will die in our place. Just like we go back to Akedas Yitzchak, Tmuras Ayil. The Ayil was in place of Yitzchak as the karban ola. So that is true in general. But there is one small symbolic way where we actually do cut into ourselves and not into the animal. And of course, that is in the advent of Mila, right? That we need to actually, as the Chizkuni says, the Mila was offered as a karban to the Malach. Amazing. Hishlicha Mila l'raglav shel Malach lios b'makom karban. Right? So the idea is really every single time we do a bris Mila, we're committing ourselves entirely to Hashem as a karban Hashem, hopefully through life and not through death, b'damayich chayi, and we will live as those who have fully committed ourselves to service of Hashem. And in that way, our entire discussion, going back this entire year really, about Moshe going back and forth, how much is he going to be in Ivri, how much is he going to be in Mitzri, how much is he prepared to commit his entire life towards the service of Hashem. So now we finally have the answer, where Moshe Rabbeinu has this near-death experience, and the only way to save himself is by offering up the karban of Mila. And again, this is the view of the Chizkuni, and this is exactly how the Jewish people will be saved. When they demonstrate their total commitment towards service of Hashem, through again the symbolic sacrifice in themselves, by all engaging in Bris Mila, because Kol Areh Lo Yochal Bo, you can't have a karban Pesach if you are uncircumcised, and according to many views, if anybody associated with you is uncircumcised, right? Mila spana ve'avada ma'akven es amila. So too here, and then of course the Korban Pesach as the ultimate demonstration of God's of commitment to service of God. So hopefully this will be the method through which the entire Jewish people, first it was experienced by Moshe, but then the entire Jewish people merit salvation on that day of Vayifkasheu Hashem, on the great day when God revealed himself in front of the Jewish people and the entire world.